Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Enders. Woo-hoo. We've got the Duger, we've got the Jessup, and we have I was trying to think of something clever to say about the fact that everyone's writing articles about you being a character creator miser.
Yes, my claim to fame.
We have lovely Bree Bun.
Yay. It was
just
Hello,
an absolute
everyone.
Delight. I'm so glad we finally get you on the show.
I know, same. Long time coming. So I'm happy to be here. Yes. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Would you like to pitch to everybody who you are?
Sure. Hello, the people of the internet. My name is Bree, or Bree Bun. I'm a variety streamer. I do a lot of narrative-based games. I cry a lot. I'm a crybaby. I also draw. I play in a D&D game with Dodger every Sunday. It's very amazing. It's called Sunforged.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's basically me. This is how I got here.
Whenever somebody asks me what I do, that's basically all. So it's just like, well, yeah. I do this and I play games and stuff.
That's all she wrote.
Yeah. And we have matching clothing. Any of you who are audio only, I need you to know that I'm wearing the most obnoxiously blue colored hat ever. And then Bree said, I have a sweater that's that color. And now we're matching. And if that's not friendship, beautiful. I don't know what it is.
And Jesse is just not wearing this hint of blue at all.
No blue to be found.
No blue
this
to be
found.
This
was sprung on me. And honestly, I'm kind of upset. But more than upset, I'm excited for the opportunities to blue screen Dodger's head chat. Here's what we're going to do. I want photos, videos, whatever you got.
Oh my God.
At any point in time, Dodger makes like a wacky goof or does like a silly voice, blue screen that head. Give us something awesome. What's going on up there? Is it plants? Is it a cheetah? Is it the entire B-movie? Whatever is going on up on that head, let me know.
I see. You want it to be like what's happening in the brain.
Inside, internal.
Yeah.
That's clever. I said you could make it look like a monster is eating part of my head.
Ooh, that's good too.
But I feel like yours is more of like a template.
Take a Shrek head there and it like same effect.
Could.
Yeah.
What could Bree's sweatshirt be?
A sweatshirt. Like a lovely, awesome sweatshirt, like a very good one. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna be like, hey, Chet, blue screen the guest. Just like get in there. Like it's a full shirt, so who knows what you can do with that. Like what's that's the, you know, go crazy.
Special
like,
torment reserved for Dodger.
Yeah.
Only for me.
Yeah.
Just for Dodger.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Whatever you want to stick up there. Go nuts.
Go for it, chat. I give my consent. Feel free to do weird shit with my brain.
Like the top
I guess.
Of a Christmas tree.
Ooh,
or
cute.
Yeah, like a minion head. Whatever.
Sure.
Whatever makes
Mom
you happy.
Will love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did I already talk about this? That I found out that a person I used to go to school with has like multiple minions tattoos.
Wait, what?
And I was like,
how How does that even start?
What a choice to make. No, she was really excited about the first one, and then she just kept getting more. And it feels like every time.
Oh, my God.
Because I very rarely go on Facebook. I was going to delete it, and then I decided to keep it because it's basically the only way to, like, keep in touch with some members of my family.
And also get updates of minion tattoos,
and
apparently.
And I also get to find out whether or not this person is a new minion tattoo. And the answer is usually yes.
But
it's a really cursed question, I guess. Yeah.
I have so many questions. So
I don't know if I can answer it. I went to elementary school with this girl.
No, it's not. Here's the thing. It has nothing to do with that person as a person, okay. And only tattoo-based questions.
Okay.
First question.
Yes.
Are they minions in the design of the minions from the movies? Or are they like cool tattoo stylized minions?
Oh, like the Calvin peeing on stuff sort of thing, except it's a minion.
I was thinking more like
minion,
a ripped.
If it was evil or like,
like a
sexy,
ripped minion.
Sexier.
Yeah, like a pinup girl minion or or like a cool devil chick minion. Right. Yeah. It's like a devil chick, but then just has the one eye and like a goofy smile. Yeah.
No, I feel like what you're asking is it in line with who they are in the movies, or is it like more irreverent?
Yes, is none it of canon them.
Right?
Headcanon?
Are they canon minion activities? Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does Bob tattooed on the flesh have the same impact as Bob in the minion movies?
I don't think he could.
Bob,
I don't think
Judas.
That's possible.
Yes.
How do you capture that?
There's
truly
an aura there. Have you guys ever watched the videos of people doing the voice acting for the minions?
No.
Now hilarious.
Is it?
A papagena, I believe, is the phrase that pays.
It's amazing.
Banana. Yeah.
Banana. Yes.
Banana. Yeah. Sampan Pisco is one of my faves from the new one.
Of course.
It's like the new Simlish.
It is. It really is. Yeah. I get into these modes where I can't stop quoting minion phrases. It's really great. It's fantastic, actually. Yes.
Abella. Yeah, all of the great.
Hello.
Yeah, all right. Yep, you still haven't answered the question, Dukes. I still need to know. Yeah, you tried to divert, but I need to know what these tattoos look like.
None of them are irreverent. They're all just minions being minions.
Okay.
None of them feel like they could also double as a bumper sticker.
Follow-up question.
Yeah, okay.
Are they separate on the body, or
is it
some sort of elaborate, like, one sleeve?
I wish it was a sleeve.
All the minions, like, come together, and so it's one yellow.
They're in different spots on her. I wish so badly they were a sleeve. That would almost be better, I think.
Right? Like a whole sleeve, like 1,000 minions? That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Actual commitment to loving minions would be the sleeve, I think. Yeah.
I agree.
So where do you think different minions end up on the body? Like, why?
I was just going to ask, like, where on the body are we talking when you say different places?
Yeah.
The first one was the ankle. And I don't really remember where the rest of them were. But the first one was like a minion on a skateboard on her ankle. Which is like pretty tight.
That is sick in a lot of ways.
So, yeah.
I have a hypothetical question for both of you.
Yeah. Yes.
You're single.
Yeah.
You're going on a date.
Yeah.
You get home. Things are heating up.
Sure.
Your partner of this date strips down.
Mm-hmm.
They turn around. They have Bob tramp stamped with a thumbs up, two thumbs up. What is your reaction?
Honestly,
I don't think I can say my reaction.
Sorry, should I keep this SFW?
My reaction came to me very quickly, and I was like, can't say that.
Honestly,
that is too dirty.
I feel like the appreciation of a good goof is attractive to me.
Right.
So, like, I would have questions.
I would have questions.
I'd want to know, like, under what circumstances did we get this tattoo?
Yes, true.
And I don't know if the story was funny enough. Because the answer in that situation, the answer can't just be, I just like Minions. I refuse. That's not the answer.
Right? I just really like Minions.
I just really like Minions, and I needed to put them above my ass crack. That's not what happened, right? Like, no, there's more to the story. Not,
yeah, there's a story.
How willing are you to tell me the truth?
Yeah, is that like a first date? I'll tell you about my Minion tramp stamp. Or is that like a, oh, we're like official now. Now I have to tell you about my Minion tramp stamp. Wait,
that would be so much worse, I think, if you saw it and they were like, I'll tell you later.
It's like those memes that are like, stop for me. And you're like touching the Minion tattoo off their butt. Don't get another one, please.
Please.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
Jesse's brain on something this entire time.
I can't look, I'm just gonna say what I was gonna say.
Please.
In this scenario, when you said she strips down, has the tattoo.
Yeah.
The first thing that came to my head was Bob about to get a banana. That's what popped into my head immediately.
That's real quick of you.
You want to know?
So funny.
That's actually the perfect response, I think. And then you two are like soulmates forever.
Yeah, I was gonna say, in that situation, if that's immediately what you said, again, I feel like that tattoo is only achieved under a goof. So why not goof, right?
Exactly. And also, it's like a test. If you had that tattoo, you could very quickly weed out like who is cool. Like in your book, in your hypothetical Minion book,
right?
I don't like this version of cool where it's like, you know who's cool? If they like your Bob from Minions tramp stamp, if they don't, trash, they're for the street.
Yeah, there's something like, really messed up about that.
You know what else I love is that we were just talking about the scenario in which Jesse's mom is listening to this podcast.
Oh,
yes,
yep.
So I'm going to need her to also respond. How would you react?
Please don't. Please, Mom, I don't need this text message. It's like, so I was watching today and Dodger wanted my opinion on Minion tramp stamps.
I do.
What's a tramp stamp? Yeah, so I'm going to have to be like, oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, that's a lie. My mom's like, oh, I know a few people with tramp stamps. And trust me. It's all butterflies and sparkles. I don't know what's going on, but she's going to have a whole sassy take.
Love that.
Like, you can't even look at it. It's on your butt. You couldn't even see it. Why get the tattoo? Like,
honestly, that's so fair. I have most of the tattooage that I have on my body, I can't even see very easily. Like, what the fuck was I thinking? Everything I've planned since then, they're all pretty, but everything I've planned since then has been like, arms like
want to be able to see it.
I still don't have a tattoo, but if we start hitting consecutive back-to-back 200,000 viewer VODs, I'm about to get a Dodger tattoo on my body. It's, look, the offer is still on the table, chat. You just need to make it happen. And I will have a Dodger tattoo.
Jesse is so positive that will never ever happen.
I don't think it's gonna happen out loud
multiple times.
Back to back, I don't think it's gonna happen. I don't think they have it.
Oh my god, come on, you guys know what to do, viewers. Let's get those numbers up,
guys. It could be the little mushroom, but wearing a Minion outfit.
Could be anything.
Oh my gosh,
I'd have to explain that to people for the rest of my life.
You would.
I'd be like, what is that? You would be the person with the Minion tattoo.
Yeah, you become the hypothetical we're talking
you
about.
You are the hypothetical.
Nice. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll give us something to talk about. I awkwardly stripped out and try to cover my Minion tattoo. She'd be like, what is that? It's nothing. Don't worry about it.
That's a day five discussion. We're not there yet.
I'm on this podcast. We obviously wanted Bree on the podcast anyway, but one of the reasons that I reached out to you this week is because I think you just finished Veilguard.
I did. Yes, I did.
And Bree is like a huge lore hound, just like Jesse is. And I felt bad the last couple of weeks. Jesse's been talking about Dragon Age, and it's been a lot of me going,
Nod.
Yes, that sounds very neat.
Jesse, I have something to show you. I didn't know you were a big lore hound, so this is exciting. This is my Dragon Age Origins DA2 and Inquisition notebook, and this is my DATV Veilguard notebook of lore notes I went through and theory crafted.
Yeah, hold on. What do you mean? What are your notes of? What are you talking about?
Well, especially working my way from Origins to Inquisition, all through it, you know, in Dragon Age, it's so much unreliable narration of history. I was trying to keep track of all the information because there's a lot of like oxymoronical statements and things that went against each other. And I was like, is this just this, but a different interpretation? I felt like I was like historically deep diving. It was very cool. Keeping track of information and like writing down things that I was like, that doesn't add up. I think it's going to come up later. Very fun.
I must stress to you, the teacher part of me is like so proud. There's like a thing happening where I'm just like, this is you really did it. You studied in everything.
I did. I took it a little bit too seriously. Like there were moments where I was like, I am getting so much joy out of this that like, is there something wrong with my brain? Like, why am I spending like hours taking notes and writing theories about a video game? But it's satisfying.
Yeah.
What would you say? So having played through them all, but not in a recent time frame, like when I got COVID a few years back, I played through all of Mass Effect again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that was a thing. And like, oh, that, mm-hmm. right? And I went back through and I had a hell of a time. It was great. So when it comes to Dragon Age, my playing is like when the games come out is when I played them. And I have like, all right, I remember this is a thing. And remember this is a thing. And it's like, oh yeah, no, Dorian was definitely trying to bang me the entire time. Like that kind of stuff. But then I'll forget little story tidbits about like, oh yeah, the dwarves don't dream. Yeah. Why is that? And so I'm glad that this game gives you enough like extra background information that you're like, oh, all right, I'm back in. I remember what this plot point was. I'm very thankful for that they're doing with Veilguard.
For sure. Yeah, I think they had to come at it from an angle of knowing that a lot of people probably hadn't played the last game in 10 years and then also didn't expect them to have played it recently either. So I feel like some people's interpretation of that who have played those games recently were like, oh, there's too much exposition drops in Veilguard. But I think it's necessary for people who are like diehard fans or are just new to the series probably and are like, what is going on? I don't understand or I don't remember, you know? So I think it's like a necessary thing for them to have added.
Yeah, I'm not done with the game yet. I think I'm in maybe Act 3. Every time I think I'm close to the end, it's like, oh no, you just failed again. Actually, you have to do a whole other thing. I'm like, okay, I will. But everything I've played so far has been a real treat. I'm having a great time. The biggest problem is that, unfortunately for me, I have a thing in video games where if there's like an array of characters that definitely want to bone down, I will always pick the one that's like, I do love you, but if I kiss you, you'll die. Like that's every time.
Okay. Dodger, have you played Dragon Age?
None of them. No. I played Inquisition, but I don't remember anything about it. That's the only Dragon Age game I've played.
You should totally go through all of them. I feel like you would love, especially the romance aspect is like super fun. Jesse, I was going to ask you, who did you romance in each game? And who are you like anticipating you're going to romance in Veilguard or have already started a romance with?
So in the first Dragon Age, I want to say, no matter what, the entire time, it was either between Morgan or
Liliana.
Yes.
Yep.
It was always like, do I pick like the dark haired woman or the redhead every time? It was a back and forth battle. Do I want to destroy reality and bring some sort of dragon creature into the world? Absolutely, yes. Flemeth, yes. Let's go. I'm a freak. Always the entire time.
Yeah.
But then in Inquisition, I was like, you know what? What's this Cassandra bit here?
What's Cassandra? She's great.
I was like, what is this? And unfortunately for me, Inquisition just consistently was like, actually there's more open world and get lost in the hinterlands again. I'm like, how dare you? I just want to romance this woman who likes erotica. Why can't you know how dare? Like, that was a whole thing. But even that was just a trial. Like, every character in that game was just like, you want to go back and bang? And I'm like, sorry. My girlfriend Cassandra is going through something right now, so I've got to go deal with this. And now the same thing's happening again, where I'm like, I made a little round, perfectly round meatball dwarf. I only use him to roll into chests and to jump kick enemies off cliffs. He's perfect.
Amazing.
In every way. And I was like, I got to get with Harding. Two little perfect little like short dwarf people. And she's a mess. She's got a lot going on, and I'm like, all I wanted was to get some dwarf on dwarf action, and no. Every other character in this game is like, oh, hello, Rook, do you want to smooch later? And you're like, yeah, but I can't, because I went in on Harding, and the game literally was like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to smooch Harding? And I was like, yes. And then it was like, okay, you're probably gonna die though. And it was like, I don't care.
There
I want them sweet, sweet dwarf lips. And it was
exactly. That was an amazing. Your Lucanus impression, by the way, spot on. That was great.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. To me, he's just, I just wanted to be like, puss in boots. 100%. That's all I want. That's all I want from him.
100%. He's great.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. I think the reason I'm enjoying it lately is that it's not. It feels, and this is such a weird thing to say, and it's probably a thing that people didn't like about it, but it feels confined to the point where I was like halfway through the game and I was like, I think I've cleared everything. Like, I think I'm so happy that I've done this.
Yeah.
And it's, and I'm like objectively getting stuff done, and my ADD, like, I'm doing this, I'm solving this. And I'm not wandering in the wilderness and getting lost in an open world where I'm just like, why did I spend 3 hours doing nothing? Right.
Yes.
It feels like objectives are being accomplished. And I'm like, okay, my brain, this ticks things pretty well. So
for sure. It's a lot more insular. It reminds me a lot of Dragon Age 2, which I know a lot of people skipped, and I can understand why. But it feels a lot more self-contained and streamlined in that way. And I'm appreciative of that as well, because I have ADHD and I could spend 10 hours in the hinterlands easily. Like, and then I'm like, oh my God, what do I have to show for this? You know, like, what have I done? But yeah. Doctor, what were you going to ask a second ago?
I can't remember what I was going to ask, but either last week or the week before, we actually were talking about like games that offer you so much to do, and whether or not it feels, after you've done all of this side stuff, if it feels like it contributed to the final goals of the game, or like how much care and attention was put into all of the extra shit that they gave you to do. And I do remember in the short time that I played Inquisition, I do remember being like, I'm gonna do everything in this area, and being like,
oh my God.
It doesn't, like, none of it is.
I want to go home, Grandpa. I'm tired. Legit. Yeah. I feel like it's like quest bloat, where it can make it feel like you feel so detached from the urgency of the main plot at that point, where you're like, I have a cognitive dissonance going on here. You know, I have to suspend disbelief that I can spend 12 hours in the hinterlands and then be like, but the world is gonna end, you know. Like, there's this balance that's really hard to strike, I think.
Yes, this like, in one day something's gonna happen, but would you like to do these quests over here? I would.
Exactly.
yeah
It's always funny when games do that, because you're right, it does kind of take you out of the moment. Games that I love do that frequently. Like, I'm a big sucker for the Horizon games. It's a redhead thing. A big sucker for those. But it's literally like, the world is ending. The robots will destroy the world. Do you want to play the racing game? You're like, what? Why would I do this? Or
that's
even
so funny.
Like Cyberpunk. I love Cyberpunk, but the plot of that is literally like, there's a chip in your head and you're gonna die. Also, do you want to do a bunch of open world stuff and run around? Like, Exactly. Sure, but am
I'd
I not
like
dying?
For my brain to not blow up. Is that still a thing?
Yeah, it happens all the time in games, and it's always funny to me. It's like the world will end, but you can go to the Coliseum and do fighting matches for like 4 days if you want.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I've brought up Banishers quite a few times. I think because that game really surprised me with how much I fell in love with it, considering that it is a game that where it's like, here's the overarching plot, but there's also lots of stuff to do in the world. And that game felt so much like everything that you were doing, it made sense that you were doing it. Like, they established the characters that you're playing as being like our creed, right? We have sworn to help people with these specific sort of problems. And so even though we have our own thing going on and we're trying to get stronger to deal with that thing, we also feel duty bound to help the people on the way, right? And so everything that you're doing, it feels like it is in service to who the characters are.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wound up doing literally everything because sure. I was like, I just love the world. I love the characters, and the side quests are created with so much care, you know. And yeah, I think my issue is a lot of the times I get bogged down by quest bloat, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I haven't played Banishers, but based on what you just said, I know now I really want to check it out.
It's so good.
It's such a sign of like good and well-rounded game design when you can make it feel like fulfilling in that way, doing all the side quests and feel like it's actually like doing something rather than just I'm completionist and I feel like I need to do this. I don't really care about this side quest, but I just want to get it done.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, for I wound up being really invested in like, oh, there's a quest at that person's house. Wasn't that character this person? Why do we need to go talk to them? Right? Like,
that's
cool. It was really like, I felt really fueled. I felt a lot of urgency to like see what was going on with everyone, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good feeling.
I will say, if you do wind up playing it, if possible, try not to look up anything about it.
Okay, I will. I'll go in completely.
Try to just
no
go in blind because
yeah. To do it.
Yeah, because yeah. I went in okay, without cool. knowing at all what was going to happen, and I was like, "Wait a minute!"
Ooh, it was awesome. Sounds really exciting. Sounds very my speed. So cool.
Hey,
what is that face? Yes,
hey. This is a face that wants to talk something very specific.
Okay.
I want to get gut reactions now that I have two. So this week, we got our official announcements for the awards season.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so we have our Game Awards nominees. And I would love to get some hot takes Game Award nominees. Because I feel like if you're going to do a show like this, we might as well. Game Award nominee discuss for maximum click baitness.
Yes.
Yeah, sounds good. Right. Sounds good. Let's do it.
So I figure we'll start from the bottom and work our way to the top. I know this first category is one that we all care a great deal about. Mm-hmm. The nominees for best esports game.
Yep.
Wow!
Yes!
Yeah! We have, first off, Counter-Strike 2 by Valve.
Okay.
Dota 2 by Valve, League of Legends, Riot Games, and then Mobile Legends, Bang Bang.
I've never Googled it.
You've never heard of Mobile Legends, Bang Bang?
I've never heard of Mobile Legends, Bang Bang.
Everyone's heard of Mobile Legends, Bang Bang.
Are you sure? You can't sit with us if you don't know what Mobile Legends, Bang Bang is.
Everyone at the table knows what Mobile Legends, Bang Bang is, and you're just not welcome.
Mobile
Your
Legends
name is
Bang
such a
Bang.
Mouthful.
It has a 4.1.
Oh,
it's big in the Philippines, apparently.
Okay,
at least that's what people in chat are saying.
5v5 action gameplay. Oh, it
sounds.
It's a MOBA.
Not my speed.
It's a mobile MOBA.
There you go.
Okay,
so
a mobile MOBA.
I'm gonna say for the record, just on a Jesse Cox vibe. Yes. I want Counter-Strike 2 to win because Counter-Strike just feels like it. I want to see Counter-Strike win frequently and often.
I love that.
Because Counter-Strike's been in my life for 20 years. Sure. It's not that I play it, but there was a Jesse that did. And that Jesse was camped on dust, waiting for your ass to come up under that walkway. And I'd pop you with my sniper rifle, and my friend would watch my back so no one could take us out. And we were right. just trolling maps. I want that. I want to have that. But I think
yes.
I think League will win because there's like a League hype happening.
Sure.
Yeah, a League renaissance because of Arcane. Because right?
Arcane.
It's yes. very like yeah. we're so back. Yeah.
I am glad that there's something on there that I hadn't heard of
mm-hmm.
just because I feel like it's one of those categories where you're like, yeah, it's going to be the same shit it was last year. Right.
Yeah. There's like a series of games that have a monopoly on that genre. I feel yeah. like, so it's nice to see something new.
Yeah. It's interesting that it's best esport game and yeah, it's still three of the things that are on there, games that have been around for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wonder if that could have been a more creative category. There has to be other esports games that have come out. I don't know if they're extremely popular, but there has to be other ones that you could be like, this was the best one of the new ones that came out
yeah.
so that yeah. it could like blow up a little bit. I don't know.
I was going to say that I'm surprised there isn't like a battle royale game of any kind, but I guess those aren't really esport, like what's the word that I'm looking for, like there aren't like events around
yeah
that
not in the same way with like
not
team
in the same way
ones yeah
yeah
not there's like one-offs right of like things but
yeah it's competitive but not like 1v1 team based yeah
mm-hmm.
Next, next on our list.
Yeah, next.
Content category. Creator of the Year.
Okay. Oh, okay. No. I always feel so bad. I always feel so bad when I see these because sometimes I don't know who anyone is. And I'm like,
oh, that's, same. No, same.
I don't know how to pronounce half of these, but I'm going to attempt.
Okay.
Number one on our list is Case O. Then we have Ilio Juan. Okay. Techno Gamers with a Z. Typical Gamer Nosy and Usada Picora, who I don't know. The only person on this YouTuber, list I know,
right?
Maybe
I think
the only like person the on this list one. That I know for sure I know as a person is Queso because us fat boys got to stick together. So I'm going to give that little goober some sweet, sweet love. But other than that, I have no idea who anyone is.
Yeah,
I think. Picora is the bunny VTuber. I don't know if I said that name right.
Picora's from Hololive? Oh, well, as an official new Hololive stan, I switched my vote. I switched my vote.
You have to keep the Hololive fam happy, dude. I gotta keep them happy.
I don't want them coming for me. I've played Holocure. Those fans are crazy. They're like bats. Most of the Hololive fans are like bats and like little cat creatures from Cardcaptor Sakura and like dudes that go when they try to attack you. So like, I don't want to mess with them.
You don't need them showing up in your office.
They're crazy. Yeah.
I only know Queso because of Dress to Impress and his Dress to Impress streams.
Incredible.
Yeah.
No, I always feel so like there was definitely a time. Right. When if their lists like these came out, I was like, yeah, of course I know all of those people. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like so outside of like popular content creators now. I feel like I'm not aware. I should be.
I'm the same. I can't keep up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watch the, what's that on Reddit? Twitch fails or whatever that is. First off, it's not fails. I don't know what's going on over that Reddit. It's like, here's my favorite.
It's not anymore.
Yeah, it used to be. Yeah. Now it's just people showing off their favorite streamer doing stuff. So I keep seeing like, oh, I don't know who this person is, but okay. Or I'll get caught up in some Twitch stream drama that I don't have context at all for or know who anyone involved is. But I'm like, yo, this is crazy. Like, yo, why are they doing this? Wow, that's so weird. I can't believe people streamed that. I don't know what I just watched. I'm like, oh.
Interesting. The kids are doing things. That's how I feel these days. I'm like, they can't keep up with it.
Yeah,
I didn't realize how prevalent like drama farming is now. Like,
even
more though, even more to the degree of like people like just throwing away any sense of decency, making themselves look awful intentionally because it gets clips.
Yes.
And like, but like to a degree, they're like doing it in a collab now too. So you'll see like a guy say something really gross to a girl that's like they're clip farming and they're both in on it, but it feels so weird. And like, I'm like, I'm too old for this. I don't know what's happening.
That stuff is so bonkers to me. Cause I'm like, surely no one would do that.
Right. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? But
yeah, it makes me feel old.
Understand. Oh, I understand. Yeah. Yes. Most anticipated game.
Mm.
Ooh.
Death Stranding 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ghost of Yotei.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Theft Auto 6.
Mm-hmm.
Metroid Prime 4 Beyond. And Monster Hunter Wilds.
Monster Hunter.
I feel like recency bias. Yeah, I feel like recency bias is going to be Monster Hunter Wild because these are all voted on by panelists, correct? Like there's some that are voted on by the community, but I think there's like a panel of people who vote, right?
I think it's something.
I'm actually not sure how that works.
I'm not sure either.
There's like the site where you can nominate. And then
right,
I think
but then there's like a bunch of journalists or something that vote for it.
Do I they think. Choose based on the things voted? Like, is there like an allotted like group that gets voted by the people, and then the panelists maybe choose? Okay, these are our nominees.
I guess it's 10% viewer votes, 90% panelists is what chat is saying.
Okay,
what?
Oh, okay.
That's so weird.
That's really interesting.
I guess that's how most awards show probably work, right? Like.
I mean, I think no matter what, like, I would say in a perfect world, probably Grand Theft Auto 6 would be the one everyone was excited for the most. Yeah. But because Monster Hunter Wild is like around the corner and it looks hype as hell, mm-hmm. people are probably going to vote for that. Mm. But I would imagine it's either that or Grand Theft Auto. Those seem like the two easiest ones, right?
I think so too. For sure.
Me personally. I want Silk Song on there, but I know that
me too. Oh my God.
A lot of people at this point are like, I don't think that game is real. Which breaks my heart. It's fine. It's fine.
I actually, you know, it's messed up. I forgot about Silk Song until you said that. Like, it's lived in the recesses of my mind so deeply because I've like given up hoping for it.
I know.
It's become like that old like Half-Life 2 meme where it's like if you say it, it gets delayed. My God. It's become that's the new Half-Life 2.
It's the new Half-Life 2. That's so sad.
It is.
Oh God. Yeah.
Ugh.
Next category.
Yes.
Best adaptation. I assume of a game for TV or film.
Oh, okay.
The first is Arcane.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Fallout. Then Knuckles, which I believe was the Paramount Plus show. Didn't watch it, but
yes.
I guess it's the Sonic spinoff.
Yes.
Like a Dragon, Yakuza from Amazon. And then Tomb Raider, The Legend of Lara Croft on Netflix.
I feel like
Arcane or Fallout's going to win, but I feel like Arcane because it's like happening now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be Arcane or Fallout. Ella Purnell about to just take home an award. I feel like that's happening.
Yeah. I think like they're on season two and it's like clearly been like an extremely successful show, right? Fallout was fantastic, but Arcane, I think, has had more time to build up more of a fan base than the Fallout show, you know?
Yeah, agreed. Plus, it like is gorgeous to watch. Like this season has been beautiful.
I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it yet either. So
I won't spoil like the plot. I'm just saying like visual art styles. If you liked how in the first season, every once in a while they throw in something like, "Oh, that's different." It happens frequently in season two, and it's really cool. You're like, that's exciting. Yeah, big fan of that.
Hell yeah!
All right, best. Interesting, this is different, but best multiplayer game. This is not for the esports, this is just multiplayer. Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Helldivers 2, Super Mario Party Jamboree, Tekken 8, and Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2.
I have not played any of those games, but I feel like Helldivers 2 deserves it based on the vicarious hype I heard in my like friend circles about it. Right.
Yeah. It was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It depends on, cause it was definitely one of those situations. I think Jesse, you'd probably agree, where like everybody was playing it and then nobody was playing it.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. So whether or not that will affect sort of like public perception or the perception of the forum or whatever.
It captured the hearts and minds of many people in a way that none of these other games did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Warhammer has a built-in fan base of Warhammer. I don't know that it's specifically Space Marine 2, but Helldivers made fans and like of people that had nothing to do with the Helldivers universe. And then they started making the most ridiculous videos and memes and all sorts of stuff. I feel like it should be that, but we'll see. I don't know.
I hear the new Mario Party's really fun. I haven't played it yet, though.
I heard
they're always fun. In like a I hate you way. With
like up to 20 people or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
yeah,
we should play it, guys.
I know. Let's go. Let's play it.
It's gonna be like, I hate you, Dodger. I hate you, and Toad for some reason. Yeah. The next category is an important one. Best sports/racing game. Okay. One I'm sure all three of us know a lot about.
Yes.
F1 24, EA Sports FC 25, NBA 2K25, Top Spin 2K25, and WWE 2K24.
Nice.
Right over my head.
Very cool.
I'm going to say Top Spin 2K25 because I could not tell you what the game Top Spin was about.
Can we guess?
I don't know what sport that is. Wait, I don't.
Yeah, let's guess. Top Spin. I have no guesses. It's a frisbee. ultimate frisbee game.
Great.
Top Spin is making me think like tennis. Because I immediately think of volleyball because you put top spin when you like serve or spike. Oh, but then I'm like, there's not really any volleyball games that are popular. So maybe like tennis.
I want it even more because I'd love the idea of a tennis game winning the best sports game of the year. People would be so mad. They'd be furious.
100%.
That's so true.
I'm here for that.
Yeah, it could be golf.
I like frisbee though too. Imagine
if it was frisbee. I was like, what's a sport where things spin? And that's where I went.
Frisbee. I mean, my brain first went there, to be fair, so I get it.
Next category, best sim/strategy game.
Okay.
Age of Mythology Retold, Frostpunk 2, Kintsugami, Path of the Goddess, Manor Lords, or Unicorn Overlord.
It was tennis.
That's like a wild category because those are vastly different games.
I've not played a single one of those games.
I'm so sorry. Can you rapid fire those again for me? I was looking up what Top Spin was.
Top Spin is tennis.
Guys. One more time.
Age of Mythology Retold.
Yep.
Frostpunk 2.
Yep.
Kintsugami, Path of the Goddess, Manor Lords, or Unicorn Overlord.
I didn't play any of those.
I heard Kintsugami strategy was cool. Yeah, I'm not either.
It's very cool. Yeah. I've played all of these. I just think the category is so strange. Like Frostpunk 2 and Unicorn Overlord couldn't be more different styles of game.
Right.
It's like a weird vibe that they're all together. I have no idea who would win this or why.
If you were going to split, because it's simulators and strategy games, do you think that should be split into simulators in its own and strategy in its own?
I don't know. I mean, if it was simulators on its own, then you could include things like Farm Sim, Flight Sim, Sim City, or The Sim. Like, that's a whole thing. Mm. And strategy, there's plenty of different strategy games. I mean, I don't know. Like, I genuinely have no clue what should win this. Because they're all kind of great in their own ways, but they're so different. I have no clue.
It's hard to compare.
Really. Best family game: Princess Peach Showtime, Super Mario Party Jamboree, The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, The Plucky Squire, and the official winner, and I don't care what anyone says, my boy, Astrobot. Astrobot wins. There's no, I don't even give a damn. All those other games are great, but Astrobot is the winner.
I love Astrobot. Still have not played Astrobot, but I do
haven't
think,
either.
I think out of all of those, it has wound up being the most beloved, oh, for so sure. Good. Mm-hmm.
It's so good. I love Astrobot. It is, again, no right to be good. It is a shameless promotional tool, and it is one of the most enjoyable things I played all year. I love that game.
I'll tell you
it's
what, though.
It's very good.
The demo for the Princess Peach game, my kid has played that demo like 18 times.
Ooh, really?
So,
well, there you go. Could give Astrobot a run for its money.
Yeah, yeah.
Then our next category, best fighting game. Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, mm-hmm. Grand Blue Fantasy versus Rising, Marvel versus Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics, Multi versus and Tekken 8. Mm. On a personal level, I kind of want to see Marvel versus Capcom Fighting Collection win, but I feel like Tekken 8 would be the winner.
Probably.
Yeah.
If I was going to base it on how much of each of those games I saw my husband playing, it would be Dragon Ball Sparking Zero.
Okay, sure.
So Sam is in chat saying Tekken won't win.
Damn.
What if Multiverses wins? The crazy, most unexpected. It's sweet.
Then, yeah, the devs of that and Top Spin are gonna have a hell of a party later,
dude. Yeah. Gonna be like, hell yeah!
Can't believe we did it, guys. That's
we
crazy.
Were the little guys, God. But we did it.
Yeah.
The next category is pretty good one, especially for us. Best RPG.
Okay. Mm.
Dragon's Dogma 2, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, or Metaphor Re Fantasio.
Ooh,
I think Metaphor will win.
Yeah.
I love Metaphor. I think it should win, but I definitely feel like the tide is on the Final Fantasy VII train.
Do you think so?
So, yeah, I mean, they racked up a lot of awards at the joysticks, the golden joysticks last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Maybe it's because we have like a talk show about, yeah, that where we talk about games a lot, but like I feel like most of what people have done is say, yeah, it's a good game, but this one was not as good as the first remake game, right?
I think it's subjective, right? Because for me, the reason I didn't like it wasn't because of the story, it's because I just don't like 85 minigames.
The minigames.
There's a lot of minigames. But to the point where recently the devs were like, the third game will have less mini games. Like, okay, all right, well, good to know. But that's like a personal thing. People that enjoyed that, I think, are totally in on Rebirth. Personally, I think Metaphor is like just a next level game. It's very cool in all sorts of different ways. But if I was a betting man, I would say Final Fantasy VII.
Mm. I have something controversial to say.
Go.
Oh. It was inevitable we were going to go here.
Oh.
An expansion? Listen, Shadow of the Erdtree is one of my favorite games of all time. Elden Ring is one of my favorite games of all time. Mm. How do we feel about a DLC expansion being eligible for these categories when Dragon Age the Veilguard didn't get nominated for anything outside of accessibility? It was eligible to be nominated for any of these categories.
How big is the expansion? The Elden Ring one.
It's big.
It's pretty big. And like, I listen again, like I think that would be my personal choice for almost every category it's in. However, sure. Do I think that's necessarily fair as it is an expansion? I don't know. Don't know.
If it was a standalone, I feel like it would be a different story entirely, but it is interesting. Although I want to say, I don't think DLC should be included. But I feel like they have been in the past.
They have. Witcher 3 DLC was included for Game of the Year. Mm. And I think one at some point.
Yeah. I mean, they've done it before. So I don't think it's anything new. But it could be the reason why this year people are like, is because Elden Ring's DLC was so good that people are afraid it will just win. And I mean, new games will be, you know,
brushed under like, the carpet, like
because it's so good, and it might seem unfair. It seems like that's the reason why people are upset, but I don't know.
I think part of the thing too with Shadow of the Erdtree is it requires you to have played several hours of Elden Ring before you can even access it. And so people are saying you can't just load it up like a normal expansion. You have to have played and invested and beat a hard boss in Elden Ring before you can even get to it. I saw that being one of the arguments online about like how it's like a DLC that even on top of that has like several contingencies before you can even get to it.
Sure.
So it being nominated feels like a little bit funny, people are saying. But
right.
I honestly don't know how I super feel about it.
Yeah, there should be some sort of if they can do a sim strategy category, they can easily do a best a DLC expansion.
Yes,
you know,
that's kind of
category.
What I was thinking about.
Agree.
Just now.
I personally, as well, like this might be controversial to say, if I worked at FromSoft, I would feel a little bit embarrassed, like just a little bit, that like my game got put in all these categories, even though Elden Ring swept already. I would be like, I want to give other people a chance who came out with their own individual IPs, right? Rather than our DLC sweeping everything again if it ends up happening. But
yeah.
Well, I mean, I also feel like Jeff's a businessman. I don't think he, you know, I don't think it's like a big, like, wow, they really screwed up or whatever. I think it's like, they know a lot of people care about Elden Ring,
no,
and so putting
sure.
it in big categories is going to get eyes on it, which, you
for
know,
sure.
it sucks that that's pretty much probably what the case is, but I definitely feel like it should, if your game already is just taking awards from a previous year, surely you can, you know, all right, we'll take our best DLC category and go home. Like, we don't need to
right.
win all the awards again.
Yeah. And just to clarify, too, I don't think like FromSoft is to blame at all or anything like that. It's
sure.
just kind of they've been thrust into this weird position.
That's what I heard.
Like,
that's what I heard you say FromSoft sucks. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hate FromSoft. Can't stand them.
The
I definitely put out
award.
Some of my favorite games of all time. Elden Ring included. But yeah.
Again, next category, best action adventure game. Astrobot, Prince of Persia, Lost Crown, Silent Hill 2, Star Wars Outlaws, and Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. Again,
is
we're kind of all over
Hill,
the place.
Is Silent Hill 2 an action? I guess action. I don't know if I'd call it an adventure game.
So much adventure. Psychological
adventure. Trauma.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. So much traumatic adventure. Yeah.
If the Lost Crown wins stuff after they've shut that whole thing down, I'm gonna be so upset. I loved that game.
It was a good
I
game.
Loved that game so much. I enjoyed the DLC, like, and I kept thinking to myself, man, I really hope that they keep adding to this.
It's a shame that Astrobot's gonna win though, because if the Astrobot sweep is coming,
yeah.
you don't even know.
It
Get
seems
on the
like
Astrobot
it deserves
train.
It.
And then weirdly enough, immediately above that is best action game, not best action adventure, just best action game.
Okay.
And this is Black Myth Wukong, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Helldivers 2, Stellar Blade, and Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2.
Wukong was fun, but it won't it wasn't popular enough, I don't think, to win.
I don't think so.
Do you think, I mean, I feel like, again, if we go by the logic of Helldivers 2 earlier, Helldivers 2 would win here, but I feel like this could also be the category, like, throw Stellar Blade a bone, the category.
Sure.
Where they're like, right. we didn't nominate it for anything else, so, like, we'll give it this award.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
We'll see. All right, best VR AR game, Arizona Sunshine Remake, Asgard's Wrath 2. Batman, Arkham Shadow, Metal Hellsinger VR, or Metro Awakening. How much VR do the two of you play?
Oh, I get motion
sickness
done
any of that.
So bad.
So if you had to guess, what would win?
Batman.
Ooh.
I would say Batman too. I feel like that has like a little bit of hype around it.
Yeah, I heard the most about Batman out of everything on that list. I don't know if that means anything, though.
What was that first one? Arizona Iced
Sunshine
Tea?
Sunshine Remake.
Arizona Iced Tea.
I want the Arizona Iced Tea game to win. Yeah.
It was 99 cents. That's a good deal.
It was a 99 cent game for VR. That's crazy.
Can't beat it. They'll never change that price, damn it.
The CEO said.
Here's a category I know nothing about, so I'm relying on you two, mostly you, Dodger, or Sam if Sam's still in chat. Mm-hmm. Best mobile game.
Okay.
AFK Journey, Balatro, Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket, Wuthering Waves, Zenless Zone Zero.
Oh my god.
Oh.
I guess it depends on if you're a gacha person or not.
Mm-hmm.
I know the people have been enjoying the Pokemon TCG game. I'm not a big Pokemon person, so I haven't really hopped into that. Zenless Zone Zero, a lot of people love, so that could do it. But people are also still obsessed with Balatro.
Mm-hmm.
Sam says Balatro, and I'm inclined to believe that mobile game master over anyone else on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Balatro got it.
The Balatro Astrobot sweep? Is it happening?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Damn.
Best indie debut. Animal Well, Balatro, Manor Lords, Pacific Drive, Plucky Squire. I'll be honest, I think it's either between Animal Well or Balatro, but I feel like Balatro sweep.
Oh god. I really don't want Balatro to win sweep. This category, but
I feel like
Animal Well is so interesting. One of those games that just keeps on giving, like you beat it and then it's like, did you though? And I love that shit so much.
But it's hard again. But it's hard to give Balatro a bunch of awards but not give it best indie, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it would be like when they do those Oscar things and it's, we want best movie, best actor, best director, but not, you know, best picture of the year. That kind of thing, like best script, best, but you don't win the big one. It's weird. It's a weird vibe.
And I think there have been two different categories that Plucky Squire has been up for. Plucky Squire was very cute as well, but I just don't think cute, wholesome games don't win typically, you know,
They win Games for Change, you know, like they don't.
Yes.
Yeah. It has to be cute, wholesome game that has like stellar mechanics in order to even really, I think, be at the forefront of anybody's mind. So I like that it's there, but in a lineup, I never think, oh, Plucky Squire could win this. You know?
Actually, hold on. I want to correct the record. I think Animal Well could win Best Debut Indie Title because there is a category called Best Independent Game. And that again has Animal Well, Balatro, Loreline, Laser Eyes, Neva, and UFO 50.
Oh my god.
That's a tougher category.
If Lorelei won a thing, I would love that so much. That game is fucking crazy.
Like having played Neva and having played UFO 50, both those games are incredible. And I think from an artistic standpoint, and like I could see UFO 50 winning. I could see Balatro winning. I could see Anima. Like, that's actually a category that I'm like, damn, any of those could kind of win.
Yeah.
Honestly, the issue with Lorelei and the Laser Eyes is that the game itself is just running into puzzle walls constantly.
Sure.
Like, you have to really be into doing puzzles to make any progress in that game at all. So it's like, this game is beautiful, what a cool art style, what a cool concept, but I think not enough people will have pushed through to like get to the big like important moments of that game, you know, for it to have a lot of backing, I guess is what I'm saying.
That makes sense.
It's super interesting that they have best debut game. I assume best debut means the first game
by the devs on.
If that's the case, man, Balatro could still win that. Mm. Like, that's huge. Like, Animal Well's amazing. Like, that is a very, but I don't know if it's the same, like, zeitgeist as Balatro.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Next category, best community support. Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, Helldivers 2, and No Man's Sky. I don't think Helldivers 2 is going to win that.
No. Baldur's Gate 3 is my vote, personally.
All I know about this category is that there's a huge thread on social media by the
Cult of the Lamb.
By the Cult of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Guys being like, it's really, really sad we didn't get nominated, but here's all the cool stuff we did for our community this year. And I was like, oh, guys.
That made me so sad. I was like, dang, they really deserve to be acknowledged.
Yeah, put them in there, like, dude.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
I will say the winner to me at least seems like it should be Baldur's Gate 3 because of the big drop of like, hey, we add your weird crap to our game. Enjoy. Like, that's huge.
Thanks for making mods. They're official now. You can just do them in the game. You don't have to download weird shit.
And those mods are amazing, by the way. They're really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's the easy winner, but we will see. Best ongoing game, Destiny 2, Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, or Helldivers. I feel like Fortnite is probably going to win, but...
I would be surprised for Destiny Fortnite to not win anything.
Does Helldivers not win? I mean, I don't know. It's a weird vibe because it is a game that was huge, but then
it fell from
Sony
grace.
Was like, let's ruin this for everyone. And then no one played it anymore. Like it dropped off hard.
Sad.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean,
I was just going to say, if part of this category has to do with are people continuing to play it, right? Like it's called the best ongoing game, right? So are people consistently coming back to keep on playing it? Fortnite, absolutely. They are like the kings of FOMO. Sure. Just like there's a new hot Catman skin. Where are you, dude? Get in here.
You know? Dance. Let's go. Fire
new
it
dance,
up.
Buddy. Don't you want to know the new dance before you go to school tomorrow? Shit.
Yeah. You're right. It really is the king of FOMO. That's such a good way to put it. Yeah.
Next, games for impact. Closer the Distance. Indica. Neva. Life is Strange. Double Exposure. Senua's Saga. Hellblade 2. And Tales of Kenzera Zao. Or Zao. Honestly, on a personal preference, even though I love Neva and I think it should win because it's beautiful, part of me really want, like, I don't know if you played Indica. That game's wild.
Bro, I wanted to play that game so bad, but it does look crazy.
Oh, like, this game. Bonkers. I want to play this.
It is one of the craziest, it is a solid look at religion in a way that is wild. One of the, like, in art style, imagine a game that is, they're trying to do photorealistic stuff, but at the same time also pixelated things. The music is like dissonant in a way that like it doesn't fit the scenes at all. Like, it is clearly designed to get you feeling uncomfortable the entire time. And I love it. It is, what a wild game. I kind of want them to get recognition just because it's so off the wall that I like, you know, I want more, not just beautiful art, not just like fun. I want people to take chances.
Yeah.
So that's I'm here for that.
How long is that game? Indica.
3 hours, maybe.
Oh,
that's not bad at all. Like, very playable in the evening. Kind of thing.
There's definitely some parts where you may not live and have to redo. I'm trying to spoil things.
Sure.
There's, you know, but it's also, there's like some traumatic stuff in that game. There's some like messed up things that happen. So definitely, like, you know, put some advisories in front of a stream if that's your vibe.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Next, innovation and accessibility. Call of Duty, Black Ops 6, Diablo 4, Dragon Age Veilguard, Prince of Persia, Lost Crown, Star Wars, Outlaws. I don't particularly know. I have no idea what the accessibility of Black Ops 6 would be. I have no idea what those options were.
Yeah, I feel like
or Diablo
kind of requires us knowing what the innovation was in accessibility that's in the game. Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I'm curious what the Star Wars Outlaws, if anything, them announcing today or yesterday that they're removing the force stealthing bits, I feel listened to. And honestly, you might get the win on that one because I feel like you listened to me. The force stealth sucked and I'm glad they're removing it. So that's, yeah. I mean, like, that's
complain about that multiple times.
I have no clue. I liked everything that Dragon Age did when it came to options. There's so many, but I do have my problems with those options. I've said before on stream numerous times that when you go to create your character, they tell you you can make your character anything you want, and they have all these options. But like, when it came to dick size, it didn't go far enough. And like, I don't know how I can relate to that.
Right, of course.
It was too small. It was just too small, and I couldn't get into the character, okay? It was just a problem that I had.
I wanted a foot slider. Come on, for the freaks out there. Come on.
Yeah, there wasn't enough freak. You know what? Not enough freak options. I'm going to say it. Velgard, you didn't have enough freak options.
Damn.
You weren't freaky enough.
Character creation could have been 23 hours, dude.
I know. Yeah. So 21 hours. I should have said that when I introduced myself. My claim to fame is I spent 21 hours in Veilguard's character creator and had some articles written about me because I'm insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if
and famously
slider,
said, would a depressed person do this?
Yeah.
Which is my favorite quote.
Exactly. And you may ask, how did you do that, Brie? Well, you have to, in Veilguard, if you know, you have an option to remake one of your characters from a previous game. And I spent all the time trying to get that character right. I would make that character as my main character so I could see it load into the first cutscene. I'd be like, nope, restart. I did that. Maybe 50 times.
What's so funny about this is I'm exactly with you because in Inquisition, I made my character Nick Mage and I made a guy look like Nick Cage.
Amazing.
So trying to recreate him in Veilguard, my main character, I was like, yep, I'm going to flip that option and that option. Yep, he's a little fat, perfectly round dwarf. Yep, okay. Like 10 minutes tops. Creating my Inquisition, it might have been like an hour and a half. I was like, it's just not right. It just doesn't look right.
I can't
he doesn't look like Nick Cage
hair.
At all.
What's going on?
I was like, I don't even have the right hair options for Nick Cage. It's like they don't want any balding men in this. Oh, I had to make him look like he was from Con Air. But even then, it doesn't look quite right. You know, it's like,
hand it over to me. I'll put in 20 hours. Yeah. I'll get you Nick Mage.
This is your new job, Brie.
It's all I want.
I feel like I've mastered the character creator now. So,
yep. That's, yeah. Oh, same thing with when I was playing Dragon's Dogma. I was like, how do I make my character look? And I just sit there and spend so much time. Eventually, now I've just given up. When it comes to most character creation, I'm like, I don't even care. Whatever. Like, yeah, okay. Sure. He has green skin now. Whatever. Yeah, it's fine.
We were talking about how in like Baldur's Gate 3, where you have like the option to make your character, but then after you've finally been like, all right, it's good. I like it. It'll be like, I now make another person.
Yep.
And I was saying literally every single time I've made a character in that game when it's been like, and now make... The second, I just randomize it and move on because no,
you're like,
I can't do it. Not again.
How many hours on this again?
Yeah.
Next on our list, best performance, Brianna White for Final Fantasy VII, Hannah Tell for Life is Strange, Humberly Gonzalez for Star Wars Outlaws, Luke Roberts for Silent Hill 2. And Melina Jurgens for, I hope that's how you say her last name, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2. I mean, I'm just saying, based off, coming off of Golden Joysticks, I think this is Brianna's year. The whole Aerith vibe coming in strong.
Good for her, absolutely. I am surprised, I will say, as a Dragon Age fan, that Gareth David Lloyd did not even get nominated for his work as Solas in Dragon Age Veilguard. But... what can you do?
I mean, Dragon Age kind of got like, nah, we're not gonna. No one played it.
It's weird.
I wonder if it comes
down.
It came out in time. It was Did eligible. It? I've talked to people internally. It came out in time.
I think it's one of those things that I wonder if because there was so much like drama online, they were like, nah.
I honestly, my own personal opinion is that, I think that has a lot to do with it, which is so unfortunate, but.
I talked about this last week, I think, but I will say it again. One of the crazy things about all the online drama about the game, especially like all the woke stuff that people are talking about, having played the game now, all the scenes that people were posting online about, like, look what they're doing in this game, are like 50 hours in and do not really matter. I was like, oh, so people just cherry picked stuff
100%.
That they were like, I don't like this. And I was like, oh, they played 50 hours of this game and then we're like, it's trash.
It's kind of crazy. The dedication to disparaging is like wild.
Yeah, but it was an interesting vibe to be like, oh, y'all just like you're grifting over here. Something. Like, okay.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It's literally like 0.01% of the game were the things that people were strange. Like, yeah.
Ain't that always the way?
Oh, ain't that just the way?
But you would think, based on what was being talked about, that it was like, this is the whole game.
Yeah.
I was like, no, it's like a very character specific story arc. And it's like a thing that you deal with the entire, like, y'all are freaking out, like, grow up. Anyway,
that's
my little sassy take. Best audio design. Astrobot, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, or Silent Hill 2. Honestly, I think Hellblade 2 has it has like such good sound design.
I mean, the first Hellblade game was amazing sound design, right? So
I wonder if Silent Hill 2 would win, but Hellblade 2 is like designed specifically around to sound. Have really great sound design.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know, but I feel like that's what it has to be. Best score in music, Astrobot, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Metaphor, Refantasio, Silent Hill 2, Stellar Blade. Here's what I'll say. I love all the music in all of those games. I think all of them are very, very good. However, that chanting man and Metaphor, every time you go into a battle, is the coolest damn thing that ever existed. And I love that man. And if they don't win for that song alone, I'll be so upset.
It's super cool. It is really cool. And immediately you're like, I need to grab a sword and do something.
Yes.
Very good.
Cool shit. Even the song where you're like, I'm in the library. Suddenly it's like the most epic over the top song that plays. You're just like, how are they not? They gotta win. They gotta win.
Yeah. They're great.
Best art direction. Astrobot, Black Myth Wukong, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, Tree, Metaphor, Refantasio, or Neva. That's a tough one. I think
what was the category?
Could win. Best art direction.
I'm gonna say Shadow of the Erdtree since it's there.
Yeah, I mean, they all have different reasons they could win.
Yes. Like
Black Myth Wukong is a beautiful game. It is designed very well. Astrobot, somehow managed to create a genuinely amazing game visually. Obviously, Erdtree is a tour de force of art. Metaphor literally steals from artwork in the real world and puts it in game. Like, that's awesome art direction. And Neva is a beautiful, like, watercolor painting of, like, they all could win as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, They're all very, very good.
Art direction, beautifully done.
Yeah. No, I remember when playing Neva. Yeah, like in comparison, you could say that Neva doesn't have like as complex of art, but what they do with it is so effective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly well done. Three categories left. Three very important best narrative. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, Metaphor, Refantasio, Senua's Sacrifice, Saga, Hellblade 2, and Silent Hill 2. I feel like 7's winning this. Like, no matter what I think of anything else, even though I love Metaphor, I feel like 7's probably going to walk away with this one. It feels like a 7 kind of year.
Yeah.
But I am Team Metaphor.
I haven't played enough of those, to be honest.
Same. I'm basing my, opinion on vicarious people around me's opinions of things, because I haven't played 7 yet. I played like the first part of it that came out, but I haven't played.
I haven't played the second part.
Winning based on the general response to it for sure.
Yeah, it's all I will, since you haven't played, I'll say about Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth is that for me, it operates in the same space as if I flash back to my youth and seeing Matrix 2. And I remember when the second Matrix movie ended and I was so excited because I was like, oh my God, it could go anywhere. This could be anything. This is amazing. Right. Like, what did that mean? What did that mean? And what's that about? And then the third movie came out and I was like, this is trash. And that's how I feel about this. The next game could be the greatest game that ever was or ruin the entire worst experience for me.
Right, sure.
Oh, man.
And I am so worried because I have seen that happen in trilogies constantly where it's like, we actually don't know how to end this at all. We've set up so many stakes and so many things. This could be terrible. And so I'm like, I hope they nail this. And so part of me is like, I want to give them the award, but also part of me is like, you haven't earned this yet. You haven't earned the award yet.
That's so fair.
The picture yet. The full picture yet. So yeah, yes. I get that.
Yeah.
It's funny. So Sam and I were just talking about that sort of scenario and how often it happens because he's been rewatching the Lord of the Rings movies. Mm-hmm. And we were like, how bonkers is it that all three of these were really good?
Yeah,
like, honestly. Like the whole series is great. Like, good job, you know, because it would be so easy for the third one to just like not. And you could say like, well, those books have been around forever. But like, you know, adapting anything into a movie is difficult or any other like, you know, adjacent piece of media. So
anyways. There are not a ton of trilogies that are like well done the whole way through. It's like that picture of the horse. Where it's like the drawing, where it's like starts off really good, get a little dicey in the middle, and then it's just like terrible at the end.
Yeah.
It's I mean, it is the reason why when the Return of the King came out, it won all the awards. Like that Oscars was hilarious because no one else was winning, and it was all them. But it's also because they weren't giving them awards for the first two movies. They were like, stick the landing, and then we'll give you all the damn awards.
We'll talk. Right.
And that's kind of how I feel about Final Fantasy VII. Like, fine, it's great. I'm enjoying it. But I don't want to be disappointed. Like, I guess you got me once again. you got me, trilogies. Like, I really want it to be perfect. So we'll see.
Hopefully it sticks to landing.
Best game direction. Astrobot, Balatro, Black Myth Wukong, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Metaphor ReFantazio. This is a tough one. I mean, I feel like if anything, this probably could go to Elden Ring.
Yeah. It's hard because I'm struggling with that because Elden Ring is operated on the laurels. Shadow of the Erdtree is operated on the laurels of Elden Ring, whereas something like Metaphor, Balatro, all the other ones on there are kind of like their own unique insular self-contained thing. So it almost feels a little bit unfair to give it to Shadow of the Erdtree as amazing as it was. That's my only like caveat, I guess.
Yeah, there's like a cynic in me that's trying to figure out either is it going to be game of the year or best game direction that they're just going to give it to Elden Ring. They're going to give one of those to, like, part of me feels like the reason why they're there is because they're going to give one to Elden Ring is like, we acknowledge you're very good.
Yeah.
If you had to explain to somebody like what it means to say game had good game direction, what would you say?
That's hard in and of itself. Yeah.
I was trying to think of the answer for me, and it's difficult.
Well, you would imagine that game direction is referring not only to the vision of the director who is in charge of the game, but also the delivering on that vision and making sure that whatever it is that the director is sort of like, we talked about this before, Dukes. It's like when, this is a weird thing to say when talking about best game direction, but we were talking about adult games.
Right.
And how sometimes adult games forget they're literally just glorified porn and try to like throw other things in. And you're like, the reason why someone bought your game, dude, is because they wanted to see the boobies. And now you're making them do like a first person shooter. Like, what the hell are you doing? What is this? And I think that's game direction, is saying this is what our game is. And we're going to deliver on the vision of what it is in a fun, creative way. That sort of encap, you know, like that vibe.
Right.
Yeah, I think
does it feel like they executed what they set out to do properly?
It's like, how cohesive is the final product in every single facet of direction? Environmental design, art design, story, character design. How does it all come together? UI, like the whole overarching, all of it. Does it fit together like puzzle pieces, or is it disjointed?
Right.
Yeah. Like someone had to say, this is okay, this is the gameplay for this bit, or this is how the fights work. And then do all the fights, are they awesome that way? Like a great example is the differences here. It's like Bellatro is a lot of mechanical direction. It isn't like a lot of crazy artwork went into it. It's fun to play, but it's not like beautiful sweeping meadows and shit, right? And then you have games like Elden Ring that is very clearly, this is what we're attempting to do. This is the design, from everything from the cinematics that we're going to use to the boss fights and all the different, like, you know, things like if you kill yourself enough times in this one area, it'll unlock a whole ass scene. Like that kind of stuff is also part of it. So, yeah, I don't know, honestly. I feel like if this is a Final Fantasy VII year, it'll win. But I also feel like, again, I love Metaphor, and I feel like it should get some awards.
I think Metaphor is very cohesive.
And yeah, like, absolutely.
Especially because all of the parts of it are, like, a bit skewed. They're all, like, skewed in the right way, you know?
Where it comes together to form, like, a really great entire picture. Yeah.
So just the loudest alarm going off right outside the window. Anyway. Oh, lovely. Game of the year.
Game of the year.
Astrobot. Bellatro. I should have just stopped. Game of the year. Astrobot.
Astrobot. Good night, everybody.
Bellatro. Black Myth Wukong. Elden Ring. Shadow of the Erdtree Tree. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Metaphor Refantasio.
It won't be Wukong.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised Wukong is on this list. And that's not to disparage Wukong, but like I am surprised it's on there, genuinely.
There are a lot of games that I feel like could have been on Game of the Year that definitely got snubbed.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
It's a weird vibe to stick Elden Ring on there. But again, they've done in the past, so I can't be like, it's wrong, guys. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's happened before, so it's a trend, whatever. The anarchist in me who wants to see the internet burn really wants Bellatro to win Game of the Year.
Me too.
Because my God, the discourse would be, I'd eat it up. Dudes would come out the woodwork with some like truly the meanest takes that ever were. I've always seen
them. Oh my God.
I read this one guy's like massive, massive rant about like a card game for Game of the Year. I was like, oh, he'd be so mad if it won. Like, I really want it to win just to like, oh, that would be lovely. It would be good.
Award season is more than just the awards, gang.
It really
is. It's also the fallout.
It is. My favorite has been people being like, a card game. And then like an hour later, they're like, okay, Bellatro's good. I played it. It's like, dang it. They were right.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Dukes?
Oh my goodness. I don't know, because I don't like Bellatro. So I'm, you know, it's fun to say Bellatro sweep, but I don't like that game very much. I didn't like you asked me. I didn't play Astrobot. I still haven't played Final Fantasy. I did play Wukong, which I know is big in China, but I don't have faith that it would do very well with whatever panel is put together for this. I think Metaphor is great, but I don't know. I would be really surprised if like a 100-hour RPG won Game of the Year for sure.
I realized something just now that I think is the problem that I had last year and every year. When it comes to the Game Awards, there's always two of the award like nominees that I love, but realize one is a love of pure Jesse, like that's a me game. Sure, and one is a love of like, that's the most popular thing. So it's definitely.
Yes.
And last time I so wanted Alan Wake 2 to win, but I knew Baldur's Gate 3 was going to win. I was like, you can't be Baldur's Gate 3. It's just that good. But I really think that Alan Wake 2 is like a perfect package. And it's like, but it's like right up my alley. This is the same thing. I really want Metaphor to win because it's a Jesse game and I want that weirdness to win. But the realist in me is like, Final Fantasy VII about to win this. Like, I feel like it's about to happen. Which is,
I'm actually, you know, so surprised. It feels like that game came out longer than a year ago. I don't know why.
I agree. I think it doesn't help that it's part one, part two. Like, sure. For me, it's like this game has been coming out every year.
It's like a gradient of release instead of just like actual sections. Exactly. Yeah.
I could see Shadow Erdtree winning this, like, genuinely. Yeah. And I think people will be upset. And what are you going to do?
Yeah. Like,
the discourse will be entertaining if it does. I think Metaphor deserves it. Personally,
it's I can't say enough good things about Metaphor. It is a genuinely phenomenal game. The fact that some of the voice acting isn't nominated is kind of like, how dare you?
Yeah,
but
it's
I've
heard more people call Metaphor their game of the year than anything else on that list. Genuinely,
but it's one of those things where I think you had to have played it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, probably. If you haven't played it or touched it, you have no context for like why it's so great. It just is another. Yeah.
It's another Atlas
huge
game.
RPG. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
So.
Yeah, I would be delighted if Metaphor won. But.
It's like, again, it's Persona minus school, which is the perfect form of Persona. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
So happy it exists. All right. But that's our categories. That's everything that was nominated. And we'll all find out whatever day it is that it's happens.
Like December 12th or 11th or something. 9th. I don't know.
December 11th. Yes. 6 p.m.
I was going to say, we should probably look that up.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Hold on. December 13th is when December 12th is when it actually happens.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Or December 13th, 12:30 a.m. GMT.
I see.
There you go.
There it is. Mm-hmm. It'll be December 13th for me when I'm asleep.
Yes, when you stay up all night to watch.
Yes, of course, which I will. I will do that.
Yes.
I'm always delighted to wake up the day after like a huge conference or event or award show or something. And I always wind up just getting the full wave of like reactions all at once.
Yes. It's great. It's like Christmas morning.
It's
and
great.
You, like, can just take it in at your leisure.
What are people jazzed about? What are they mad about? I get it all at once.
The Bellatro Fallout would be so good. Just everything I've ever wanted.
If only just for the discourse, I would love just to see that.
This is the chaos goblin up here talking now.
Exactly.
Being like, the Bellatro sweep would be delicious.
It would be.
Indeed. Yeah. That's it, I think, right?
I don't know. You're the boss.
We did the dang thing. Bree, thank you so much for being on our show.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You're such a delight.
Love yapping about games.
Yeah. So we haven't had a guest in a while, but typically when we have a guest, we have them assign homework to chat.
Ooh, okay.
This can be a game, a movie, a comic, a book, something that you think more people should play or experience or whatever.
Oh my gosh. Well, I have just the thing. Dodger, you're going to hate me for this because you've tried this game and you did not personally mesh with it. But I think everyone should play Outer Wilds. I think it's my favorite game of all time. I will say the controls are frustrating. It doesn't click with everyone. And it is definitely scary if you have anything like thalassophobia adjacent with space. It has its own name. I'm forgetting right now. But if you have fear of space, it is a hard game to play. However, that game changed my life. It literally made me come to terms with death and dying and my place in the universe. And I think it's an amazing game that will always deserve more love. So check it out.
Yeah. I mean, I know so many people that can't say enough good things about that game.
It's phenomenal. Yes.
But it did scare me. It stressed me out so much.
And it's stressful.
Space stressed me out.
It's a lot. And in fact, actually, if you find yourself unable to play it, watch a playthrough. Just go for it. Just so you can experience it. That and also Mouthwashing is really good. That just came out as well. Indie game that's really good. But Outer Wilds is definitely, that's my plug.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Brie. Can you tell everybody who you are, where they can find you, what you're up to this week?
Yeah. Again, I'm Bree Bun, variety streamer. Narrative games are my jam. I'm going to be doing Mass Effect all the way through for the first time ever.
Oh my goodness.
I know. That'll be my next thing to hold me over until Monster Hunter Wilds comes out. So that should be starting shortly on my channel. I'm going to lore deep dive into that as well. And yeah, just twitch.tv/BreeBun.
Brie and I are also, as she said earlier, we're on a D&D show together called Sunforged.
Yeah.
So if you ever want to watch that, that's on Sundays on Joe Fudge's channel.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Jesse, do you have anything going on? What's going on with you?
Do I? Oh, my goodness. Hey, everybody. If you didn't see it already, we posted a ludicrously long Scary Game Squad of Amanda the Adventurer 2. Enjoy. Love that game.
How long is ludicrously long?
Almost 5 hours.
Nice.
I've determined
the video
that
essay girlies are going to love that.
Yeah. True. I've determined I don't care about uploading multiple episodes of things on the main channel now. I'm like, you want this? You're going to wait till it's completely done. Then I'm going to edit it all into one video and then we're going to upload it. Deal with that.
The algorithm hates it anyway. The algorithm wants videos to be 10
hours. Now you're getting long-ass videos. Enjoy. And then probably later this week, I'm going to check out all sorts of things to look at. I got No Stone Unturned, which I think just did their Kickstarter, and I think they just passed the Kickstarter. ICBM Escalation, because I feel like I want to nuke the world. And also, I'll probably check out Mirthwood, which seems like that's going to be super fun. So we'll check those out, and we'll... I also downloaded, because of Dodger, The Case of the Golden Idol. So yes! I have that on my desktop.
Ooh, I've heard fantastic things about that.
I just finished the sequel, Rise of the Golden Idol. Nice. It was also great. Yeah. Please tell me if you stream it.
Okay. Yes.
I really want to watch.
Let's come watch.
Yes. So excited. Also, for any of you guys who have been like, Life is Strange, rah, 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 that went up on Jesse's Clip channel. Jesse and I playing the new Life is Strange game, at least the first part.
Yep.
So if you are interested in watching that, we do plan on playing more of that. So so keep your eyeballs peeled. What else? There's a new mug in the Dodger coffee store.
Oh, that's no.
So cute.
It's the Crendor sloth.
Crendor.
So if you didn't know, we have a roast with Crendor called the Midnight Sloth. It's a dark French roast. It's delicious. And we came out with a little mug to go with it. So if you want to check out the store, it's dodgercoffeeco.com. But for me, stream-wise, it's just same old. It's just same old. Just playing weird games, having a weird time. So come hang out. twitch.tv/dexbonus.
Put your blue screen Dex bonus heads.
Blue screen
on
my
Discord
head.
Dex bonus.
Minions. Do something
bring
weird.
It,
turn this into
minions.
Yep. Yep.
Full
big
circle.
Old tramp stamp on the
head. I forgot that's how we started this.
Yeah.
What a good time. What a good time. What a blessed podcast.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, everybody. Have a fantastic day. And week, and we'll see you next Friday. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.